This is the Gospel for Life, where we have four Treasure Valley pastors committed to showing that the gospel is not just for that religious part of your life, but for all of life. You never graduate from the gospel. Around the table today is Russell Herman, pastor at Cloverdale United Reformed Church, Jonathan Van Hoogen from Dayspring United Reformed Church, Vinny Hankey from Valley Life Community Church, and Ryan Hemphill from Treasure Valley Reformed Presbyterian Church. To catch earlier broadcasts, just search The Gospel for Life wherever you subscribe. To find out more about this ministry and about our annual conference, go to reformationboise.com.
Welcome back to The Gospel for Life, and we have been working through just different, what are quote-unquote acceptable sins, those sins that we tend to give a pass to. We kind of have our big-ticket items that everybody is horrified by, and rightfully so. Sin is an offense to God, but there are other sins that still an offense to God that we kind of say, it's okay.
They tend to be the hidden sins of the heart, is what we're talking about. These are things that we can give the whitewash the outside of everything, but internally, this is where we are. This is the thought part. They're thought crimes rather than, you know, although they will manifest themselves in other ways.
The one for today, and we didn't talk about this off air, so I am springing something on you guys. So I apologize for the line I am about to take. But he has the phrase unthankfulness, and my computer, every time I typed it, alerted me that it's, quote, not a word. So is unthankfulness not a word?
You know, I always had problems with this with my English teachers when you would start a sentence with "and," you know, because that's the way the King James did it, or another passage of Scripture. It's a word, you know. I mean, they make new words all the time. You know, it's like
my middle school daughters come up with new ones.
Yeah,
every week I can need a dictionary just for that.
Yeah, there's new words all the time.
So we are going to apologize up front to those that are very linguistic. And this is an affront to you that we keep using the word unthankfulness.
Ingratitude.
Okay. So,
according to the freedictionary.com, unthankfulness is a word.
Oh, good.
And it's the quality or condition of being unthankful.
Very good.
Lack of thankfulness, ungratefulness.
Throw a prefix on anything these
days. Yes, yes. We can proceed now with confidence. Oh, I feel liberated. I think the root of unthankfulness is a lack of acknowledgement of the fact that you are receiving things from someone else. I'm going to have Vinny read a passage of Scripture from Deuteronomy 8 that hopefully lays the foundation for what we're going to talk about after that.
So Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 through 18 from the English Standard Version. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, and who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day.
So the principle here is that God is saying, before they go into the promised land, just remember that all that you have, all that you possess is because of me, not because of yourselves. Now, what would you say in response to those that will say, well, this is just specifically information that God is giving to the nation of Israel before they go into the promised land, that it's not something that we should apply broadly to all people at all times?
First Corinthians 4 let's see, what is it, about verse 7 somewhere there, it says, what do you have that you did not receive? If you then received it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? The point being is that everything, life and breath and everything comes from God.
I think anecdotally we can see this in the pews when the economy is going very, very well. There are folks who, you know, drift away and move away out of the church. And then when things become tough, when there's tragedy or economic hardship, the church fills up. See that anecdotally in people's lives when they're out of work and struggling. Man, they're all over the church. They're at every Bible study, serving at every opportunity. And then and then God answers the prayer, grants them the job, and pretty soon their work schedule and life balance is out of whack and they're nowhere to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday we talked about envy and jealousy, and really at the root of that is a coveting heart, lack of contentment, and really thankfulness, and realizing that all that we have is given to us by God is a guard against coveting.
Yeah,
when you realize what God has given us.
Yeah, you think about how vibrant prayer life becomes in terms of suffering and tragedy in your life, and then how much discipline and effort it requires in times of blessing to remember to be in time with God, praying and spending time in relationship with Him.
Unthankfulness really boils down to this idea that deep down we think that we're either entitled to something, or that we earned it, or that it's an inflated view of self. Mm-hmm. And that really is a pretty serious indictment. In Romans chapter 1, mm-hmm. There's a passage. You've got this?
Yeah, verse 18 following.
Yep.
I'll just read through to 25. In 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it known, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Right in the middle of that, you have, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. And in essence, this ingratitude is a rejection of God. It's a rejection of Him as the Creator and ruler of all things. It's a rejection of God as the giver of life, the giver of every blessing that we have. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there's no turning. So, everything that passes into our life comes through the hand of God, and that even in our pleasant and painful circumstances, we're to give thanks to God because He's in control. And this is something that we see with the Apostle Paul. Even when he's in prison, he's rejoicing in God. He's thanking Him. So I think that this is ultimately we have to say this is a rejection of God in our life when we're unthankful.
So you've got two verses that I want to just have us think about for a little bit. The first is Ephesians 5:20, where it says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the other one is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, that says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So give thanks in all circumstances, and giving thanks always and for everything. Is this just pious mumbo jumbo that it sounds good, it's great rhetoric, but it's completely unrealistic, and Paul didn't really mean them?
Well, in relationship to God and not rejecting God, we have to recognize that God is good all the time. God is good. And in this, in his goodness, everything that he does is going to be good for us. So, you know, it's for his glory and our good. So God has given us everything. He's given us life, salvation, everything that makes up life in this world. They've all come to us from him.
And where it becomes hard is when we go through the hard things in life and the sufferings and afflictions that we face. And I think we can yet still be thankful even in those times, because those are still from the hand of our good God who is preparing us for glory to come. Scripture doesn't say we have to be find pleasure in those circumstances. It doesn't say we have to put on a fake smile and just pretend that it's not happening. It's
and we can
to drive
pray.
Us to
we
him.
We can pray about leaving those circumstances.
Yeah, but, Lord, you know, take this cup from me if it is your will.
Yeah. So while we're in it, you know, we're trying to behave like sons and daughters of the Most High in that. We realize we're there for his time and under his, you know, for his purposes, and that he's going, that he ultimately is going to deliver his people.
I think it becomes a gospel mindset, so that in times of blessing, gratitude becomes a result of understanding the abundance we've received. Yeah. Not only every spiritual blessing in Christ, but also the good things in this experience. Mm. And then in times of suffering, I think there are two key points to remember. One, we have a Savior who suffered, so he knows. So we're not alone in our suffering. We have someone we can go to, a great high priest who understands the emotions and experiences we're experiencing. And that same Savior has conquered death. So even the worst experience on this side of eternity is the worst it's going to be for the believer. Mm-hmm. So the worst thing you're enduring and going through is as bad as it's ever going to be for you. And that can produce a blessing as we think about our future in eternal glory with Christ. That as bad as this is it.
Yeah.
And there could be gratitude for the future glory that awaits us.
So I like to just try to apply three questions when I'm in circumstances that I find to be hard to be thankful for. And I want to ask myself first, is God good, gracious, and kind? And then I ask, is God almighty? And then is God perfectly wise? And since the answer to those three are an emphatic yes, then whatever I'm in, I know is not the result of a circumstance that God couldn't prevent because he's almighty. I know it's not because God didn't anticipate it and that he just got blindsided, and I'm just the negative circumstance that happens is because God dropped the ball. No, he's perfectly wise. And then I know that whatever I'm in is got to be the best thing for me because God is good and gracious and kind. And so really for me, it's coming back to who God is and then saying, okay, based upon who I know God to be, can I be thankful even when I don't understand and even when I might not ever understand? So sometimes we can be thankful later on because we can say, oh, I see how God used that. But the point is that we should be able to be thankful even if we don't see how God ever uses something for our good and his glory.
Mm-hmm.
A good book on that I found to be extremely helpful is Elizabeth Elliot's These Strange Ashes. And she wrestles with the sovereignty of God. All of this translation work literally burns up. And it's back before the day before there was electronic copies. And so all of these years of work go up in flames. And the guy that was the main translator that helped with all of that ended up dying. And she was wrestling with, okay, God, why? I don't get this. And basically gets to the end of the book and says, I don't need to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is God, and I'm not. And I'm willing to accept all that comes from his fatherly hand. And I think that's really at the heart of what it means to be thankful. Well, you've been listening to The Gospel for Life. We'll see you next time.